Our scripture reading today is Romans 13, 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, and how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for this season of expectation, but also a season of waiting upon you, opening ourselves to you and you alone. We pray all of this in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. You know, as I was looking towards the back row and I noticed that my sister in Christ, Connie Whitner, wasn't there. I'd also remembered that we needed to lift her in prayer. Now, it wasn't that she went out on Black Friday and was trampled by a crowd. I just want to let you know that. It was that she actually had surgery, but she's doing quite well. But she's recovering, and we want to continue to be surrounding her in our love and prayers. Anybody go out at 3 a.m. in the morning on Black Friday? Anybody want to admit that? Raise your hands. You can go ahead and share with somebody right now if you did. I survived Black Friday. Go ahead and whisper that in their ear. Saw some pictures, and one was just so stark in the imagery of this very kind of cold, bland facade, corner of a big box store, which we'll go unnamed. And there was a crowd coming this way and then that way, standing in line for the best deals available. Now, for those who enjoy the excitement, for those who have a tradition of going out and braving the elements, it's not too bad in Yuma. We don't have that four-letter word here, I don't think, ever. Snow. We do have that other four-letter word, rain. But you know, every so often, battling the elements in Yuma is not that big of a deal. But going out and gathering and just kind of getting into the holiday spirit, for some people, they really enjoy that, and that's fine. But it brings to mind this whole idea of waiting and not waiting. We, as a nation, wait, in the course of a year, billions and billions of hours. Anybody been to the doctor recently? The emergency room. We have... Yeah, hurry up and wait, absolutely. Just this kind of sensing of it's not really in our control. Now, we're willing to go ahead and wait for a good deal. We're willing to go ahead and wait at the doctor's office. Probably don't really have a choice. We're willing to go ahead and wait in traffic. Wait at the stoplight. But are we willing to wait on God? Advent is a time of waiting. Advent is a time of recognizing that God is going to be at work in us. Notice I didn't say might be at work, may be at work. God will be at work in us in a way that stretches us, that fills us, that sustains us. And yet it is very much about waiting on God. Certainly we want to kind of rush God along and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm really ready now, God. I dusted off my Bible. I got an upper room or an Advent devotional at church. I went to church today. My checklist is all full. Go ahead and let me have it. Well, watch it whenever you tell God to let you have it. Whenever we're waiting on God, it's not about our understanding of time anymore. It's about God's understanding of time. A brother in Christ said to me recently, he said, we need to pass a law that you can't start decorating for Christmas until December 1st. I don't know that that'll ever happen, but he had been in a store where there was this kind of hodgepodge, cornucopia of holidays. There was still Halloween decorations, there were Thanksgiving decorations, and there were also Christmas decorations. We should go ahead and just put a jack-o'-lantern under the Christmas tree next to the cornucopia, and then we cover it all. It's all good. But waiting, you know, we want to go ahead and rush in. We want to go ahead and take care of the things that we feel are important. And how often is what's on our list as very important, what's on our list is different from what is on God's list? I'm not talking about a naughty and nice list. I'm talking about a list of what Christians are called to be about in the world. We're called, rather than scouring the ads for the best deal, believe me, I'm one that wants a good deal as much as anybody, hence the boots. But rather than focusing on that, let's as we read the paper, pray for things that we read about. Pray for individuals, things that strike us in our hearts. Rather than thinking about what we're going to need to do to make the holidays quote-unquote festive, let's think about what we can do for others, stretching ourselves to notice the other in the bustle and the hecticness of the holidays. You see, for Christians, we've already received the most wonderful gift, the gift of salvation. We've received that gift, been unwrapped, received, has changed us, continues to change us. So the pressure's off. We don't need anything more. We really don't. But what we can do is share abundantly with others. A sister in Christ, as she was coming in this morning, shared a commercial that she had seen, an advertisement, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It was Jesus on the cross with the thieves on either side, the criminals on either side, and it said, the true Black Friday, the one with eternal ramifications. I love that. For us, that's what we are defined by. Not by what we can do or plan, but rather how we are open to what God has already done and sharing that with the world. Paul, in the scripture passage in Romans, we have the sense, at least, that Paul felt that Christ was going to be coming back soon to the earth. We have that sense, and this is not the only letter that we have that feeling from. Paul, as he was writing to the early church, had in his heart and mind that Christ is coming again. We really need to get ready, folks. We really need to prepare. How are you living? What are you doing? Who are you pointing towards in your life? Now keep in mind also that as Paul wrote, oftentimes he was writing from prison. He was writing chained. He was writing at a place where many people would think, well, God doesn't care about me anymore. And yet Paul was writing words of inspiration and inspiration to other people, saying, don't give up hope. Be in God's time. That's a challenge. Being in God's time. Certainly, whenever we look at the Advent wreath, we understand that this is the first Sunday in Advent. Each and every Sunday leading up to Christmas Eve, where we light this big candle right in the middle, the Christ candle, each and every Sunday of Advent, we light another candle. A waiting on God, an expectation, a kind of taking ourselves out of the franticness of our own lives and saying, God, you are in control. So we wait on God and we listen for God. How is God speaking in our lives? For us, we understand, truly. And Paul shared this also from his heart, that the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is God's sign to all believers that all of those promises that God has made about life and wholeness prevailing over brokenness and death are true. And that God can be trusted to do what God has promised. God can be trusted to do what God has promised. Paul knows what time it is. It is time to wake up! For any of you who were dozing, I'm sorry about that. During the sermon, I've always said that if you get a nice 15-minute siesta for the rest of the day, why not? It is time to wake up and look forward to what God will do in the future and what God is beginning to do now in your life and mine. Love, as the New Testament uses it, is not to be defined as an emotional state. This is God's love. As though when God loves us, he gets all warm and squishy inside. Rather, God loves us by doing something for our benefit. Namely, sending his only Son to remove our sins. We know God loves us, therefore, not because of how he feels about us, but because of what he has done for us through Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer offers these words. He also wrote to Christians while imprisoned by the Nazis during World War II. For his stand against the Nazi Party and Hitler. Not everyone can wait. Neither the sated nor the satisfied, nor those without respect can wait. The only ones who can wait are people who carry restlessness around with them and people who look up with reverence to the greatest in the world. Thus, Advent can be celebrated only by those whose souls give them no peace, who know that they are poor and incomplete, and who sense something of the greatness that is supposed to come, before which they can only bow in humble timidity, waiting until he inclines himself toward us, the Holy One himself, God in the child in the manger. God is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Christmas is coming. Rejoice, O Christian. We wait. We rejoice. We put aside the stuff that we've come to believe and maybe even fooled ourselves into believing are important. And we wait upon how God speaks into our life. We wait upon how God is going to be moving in our lives. We wait and open ourselves to the only thing that can truly satisfy, the grace and love of God poured out abundantly upon each and every one of us. What a wonderful way to prepare ourselves to continue to wait upon God, to prepare ourselves for this journey of Advent. What a wonderful way to do that, gathered around the table of grace. I invite those who are going to be serving communion to come forward. Those who will be serving communion, if you would please come forward at this time. Before Paul wrote these words about waiting, Christ gathered with his friends, those who were also waiting for a Messiah. And he broke the bread and he offered it to them. And he said extraordinary words, words that we remember today. This is my body broken for you, the people of God. You are loved. And yet also, there is an expectation that you are the body, my body, in the world. The body of Christ broken for the people of God. And we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And more extraordinary words remind us that we are forgiven as well. Forgiven even when we think that we're unlovable. Forgiven even when we think we've done something unforgivable. Because of Christ's coming and sacrifice, we are forgiven. And this cup reminds us of that. Shed for us, poured out for us. Certainly, God's forgiveness is offered to you once again this morning, this very moment, receiving this element of grace. The blood of Christ shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, for our wholeness of heart, poured out for you as the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is an open table. That means all are welcome to this table of grace. And as you come forward under the direction of the ushers, think about how God is at work in your life, moving in your life. And also think about how you can be waiting upon God, that you can be on God's time schedule rather than God being on yours.